you want to hear some gossip? Of course you do. That's the reason why I got into bartending, right? For the stories, the dish, the proverbial tea, right? So picture me, roughly around 1989-ish, a freshly minted, newly wannabe writer, right? So I had the brilliant idea that bartending would be a really great way to collect material for my book that I haven't written yet. So, but I romanticized slinging drinks to like the degenerates of Baltimore, the beautiful bohemians, and collecting their stories like rare gems, right? Yeah. So my first gig, UA Movies at Harbor Park. They had a mezzanine bar that only served Franzia box wine. Long before, way before, box wine was cool or even remotely good at all. The only other thing that they served was frozen margaritas and strawberry daiquiris. And I was in charge of all those little fun canisters of whipped cream that you put on the top of like all the frozen drinks, right? So, loved those fun canisters. So, shut up. So, that bar, and I am being generous with that term, is where I first met and fangirled over Mr. John Waters. I know, everybody's got a fucking John Waters story. Jesus. But he was the reason why I actually moved to Baltimore. So, of course, my first meeting with him, here he was coming up to my bar, and I was starstruck. And I relied on my, you know, traditional opening conversational gambit when I'm, like, looking straight into that mustache. I'm like, so, Mr. Waters, what movie are you here to see? So the rest of the entire conversation was pretty much a blur, and I felt like kind of like this immediate regret. I was like, oh, no, oh, no. Okay, so as he's leaving, I was like, John, what's your star sign? And he whipped around, zero hesitation, and it's like, feces. I thought, holy shit, this is going in the book. That's what I'm talking about. So, anyway, fast forward to, it's 1997? I don't know where I am in the history, my cue cards. Okay, there we go. So, 19-something, right? 1990-something, whatever, it's the turn of the century. My second bartending gig was at a little punk rock sushi bar called Akira down in Sowebo, right? So that is where I met a Mr. Michael Bowen. He worked at the Gypsies Cafe. Yes, Michael, yay! So he worked at Gypsies Cafe, which was right across the Hollins Market from Akira. So, and after his shift was done, he would come over to Akira to grab some frosty cold ones and talk about his poetry. And I was enthralled. We, like, it was fast friends immediately. And one night after some suds, he confessed to me that his life was at a bit of a crossroads. So he was either going to go to culinary school or he was going to start a music venue. You see where this is going, right? Okay. So, you know, in his cups, he was like, oh, Tekla, one of these days you're going to come work for me. And I'm like, oh, Mike, that's so cute. You just let me know when that happens, right? And I patted him on the shoulder, and I didn't think about it until about 2 months later. I get a phone call. Tekla, what the fuck is a rocks glass? And I've been at Autobar ever since. Then in 2019, after 20 years of running the venue, Michael was tired. And I don't know if y'all know this. I'm sure some of the other speakers can speak to this, but running a venue, running a music venue specifically with daily programming is a 24/7 job. It's like having a toddler that just never grows up, right? So, and I understood that he wanted out, that he was tired, but I wasn't done. I wasn't ready for the fun to end. There were still stories out there. Then the potential buyers started circling. Yeah. For me, the final straw was when a group of business casual dudes came in to check out the bar, and I'm there. And they're like, oh, wow. Wow, this place is really cool. I'm like, yeah, it fucking is, right? It's so cool. It's so great. And they're like, yeah, I can totally see a Chipotle on the first floor and apartments right above. Like, we can go maybe 2, 3, 6 stories up. Are you fucking kidding me? No way. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. No way am I letting the Autobar become a burrito with a roof deck. So, with some help from some family, I secured the seed money that got the loan, and I bought Autobar. Let's go, right? Let's go. 9 months later, COVID shut our doors. Game over. Party's done. From the frying pan straight to the apocalypse. It was over. Done deal. So, COVID was a crucible for me. And I earned every single one of these gray hairs. So, thankfully, the SBA and their Baroque loan process had already trained me in paperwork warfare. So I was ready. They required everything in triplicate, and I was ready to go. So the grants started coming in, the PPPs, the EIDLs, anything with an acronym, I fucking signed up for. Right? I was ready. We launched a GoFundMe. We hustled. I applied, and we survived. And not just survived, but because of that outpouring of love, we launched the No Stage Diving campaign that put money directly into the pockets of local musicians that were out of work, and a myriad of other things. But I got to retain all of my staff. Yay! All of them. So it wasn't just me that didn't want the fun to end. Apparently, Baltimore didn't want that either. So, and we all came out stronger, right? Yeah. So, people always ask, I get this all the time, what's your favorite show? What's the standouts? What do you recall? What do you love the most? And in almost 30 years, I've seen upwards of 10,000 bands. That's a lot of kids, right? So the reason why that line was going to land way better in about like 2 minutes is that, all right, everybody's like, which show's your favorite? And I was like, oh my God, why are you asking me that? That's like asking me like, who's your favorite kid? Which kid do you love more? And I'm like, I've seen 10,000 bands, so that's a lot of kids. Thank you. It's a lot of kids. So, okay. But I will tell you a few standouts, right? So, all right. And I had to write this down, like, with detail. Because it's been almost 30 years. So, 1999, Invert, unknown band, they played their entire set inside of a cargo van, drum kit and all. And lighting. That one was for you, Natasha. In 01, Super Suckers performed on the top of their rental truck. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. You were there. Cool. In 01 and 02, I think the White Stripes played a blistering set to like 30 people. In 2013, Diplo had to be talked out of like landing his helicopter directly onto Howard Street. Trap Hawk down. Dude, you can't do that. They're buses. Every Dan Deacon show. If you know, you know. And in 2013, Turnstile played their song Blackout. It's a hit song, and I'm not sure if you know it, the lighting cues, but when they start the show, the lights completely in the venue go out. It's pitch black. And a very excitable stagehand started chucking water bottles out into the audience. The thunking sound that it made, you know, on the audience's heads actually added to the ambiance for hydration. Anyway, so that's a few. I could go on and on. I could go on and on and talk all night about the bands. But here's the thing. The juice isn't about the bands. The juice isn't the gossip. It's not the drama. It's my dharma. But really, it's the people. It's the stories of the people. They inspire me. They humble me. They amaze me every single day. And they keep me doing this wild, exhausting, beautiful job, even though it is the hardest one I've ever had. And I have actual kids. So yes, I'm still collecting stories and a little gossip here and there. And I know you're wondering, is this the gossip? Is this what we're talking about? This right here, is this it? Pfft, no, this isn't the gossip. I'm not gonna leave you totally hanging. I might, but no. Here's the gossip. What movie did John Waters go see this summer of 1989? Any guesses? Nobody fucking Google that. Roadhouse, naturally. Swayze, hello. And we may or may not have blasted a can of Whippets right beforehand, allegedly. But that's really just the tiniest little bit of this story.